We chat with our next guest, Adnan Virk. Adnan, if you were going to Boston Pizza and you were going to have some pasta, you're just going to make maybe make your own, how would you go about that?
Well, first off, is the answer Antero Nitimaki, Boomer?
It's not Antero Nitimaki. Good try.
Wow.
Yeah, no, no, not quite.
Coming in hot there. I yeah, imagine but, if I won, how enraged would people be?
They would be, yeah. They'd be very upset. They would be.
Boston pizza, I love a good penne. I mean, listen, penne primavera. Who's turning that down, okay? Fettuccine Alfredo, chicken, mushrooms, forget about it. All day.
Probably a good idea. Yeah, yeah probably.
Two wins right there.
Is it UC Markkanen? Is UC Markkanen the answer?
It is not UC Markkanen, no. No.
Okay, I'll stop guessing. Yeah. Sorry.
And Tommy Salo is Swedish, here. So he doesn't count. Yeah, he does not count.
Let the Belarusians know. Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to talk about the Marlins-Yankee trade because I'm a Yankee fan. And
we keep gonging them.
They just turned my microphone off, so I'm
going to break.
I'm going to allow you to talk about
it. No, I was going to say, you're one of the first guys I thought of. I said, Boomer must be going berserk right now in Calgary. This is unbelievable. And I get the fact if Rhett and Pinder are like, oh, God, more obnoxious Yankees fan, but that's exactly what it should be. I mean, this is, you know, pun intended, a home run. Absolutely. This guy is going to crush at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, he makes a ton of money. What do you care? You're the Yankees. That's not an issue. Just go back to the old days of the boss and have a ton of money and expenses. And right now, you know, the Astros offense was so good, guys. We kept talking last year about the depth and their length, the 1-9 that were good. How fearsome is this Yankees offense? Like, it's ridiculous. The fact that you can pencil in a lineup with names like Stanton and Judge and Sanchez and Bird and one after another. And fine, they'll get rid of Jacoby Ellsbury. He'll waive that no-trade clause just to deal him. But, again, the fact only giving up Starling Castro and a couple of prospects, it's awesome. I think there's multiple levels, though, guys, that's fascinating. One is that Stanton in New York is going to be must-see TV. Now you've got, you know, him and Judge, obviously, together. But Jeter, a guy who I love, is just getting destroyed right now. Think about, you know, in our sport. Imagine, and I get the fact Gretzky was not a successful coach of the Coyotes. But it wasn't like he was getting lambasted. It wasn't like he tore down the franchise and, like, traded Shane Doan or something or said that hockey's not going to work here. Like, the way Jeter's come in, there cannot be a worse PR campaign for a beloved player than Jeter. The fact that he fired, like, longtime personnel, got rid of the broadcast team, has now traded their star player for 5 cents on the dollar. It's just amazing to me. A guy who I love in Derek Jeter is just getting destroyed right now throughout baseball.
It's weird that when you look at it, if I was the new ownership and I wanted that dirty work done, I would have maybe got the previous ownership to do it before I took over. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, because now, like, Jeter's already been tarnished, and I guess he's not doing himself any favors in that. I guess if you're just more transparent, go, listen, I guess you couldn't do this, but if you said, listen, I know it's not a great trade, but our mandate is to build this thing up, and part of that means divulging an asset who is tremendous but very expensive. But I promise we'll build a winner. Instead, he's almost been a little too aloof, which was always a criticism, right? Even as a player, he was an unbelievable player, and he was good with the media, but he wasn't great. He was always a little standoffish, a little aloof. He'd give you the answer, but obviously there was no personality and no color. And now in the front office, he can't afford to be vanilla again because people are out for blood right now.
Here's another one. This is from December 1st. The Marlins let go of a longtime scout in need of a kidney transplant as he lay in a hospital bed days after undergoing surgery.
Oh my God. Like, you're right. That's another one. Like, you just go, what is the thinking here? Like, okay, I get the fact you have to deal Stanton because it's too expensive. A scout who, like, a kidney transplant? Are you kidding? Like Andre Dawson and Conan, those guys, like, it was ridiculous. They're making like 30 grand. They're like, now we got to fire these guys. At the broadcast team, for God's sake. Who's offended by the broadcasters? Like, they're a little too expensive. Sorry. Like, you're right. That is a glaring one. The scout, I forgot about that one. But no. All of these are just bad. It's just bad optics.
So winter meetings are on the go. All of the smart people in baseball are together. What are the names we need to watch in terms of potential moves? We're hearing Jake Arrieta's name on, what is it, Scott Boras has him, does he not?
Yes.
And he's trying to...
And of course, the Boras client, so you know he's not taking a discount. Maybe go to the Phillies, although the Phillies are wretched. I mean, you talk about awful teams. I mean, that's about as bottom as it gets, and you can't use the excuse they've got a good farm system. They really don't. They got a couple of guys who are decent, but if Arrieta goes there, it's just, all right, follow the money. Like, okay, we'll sign Arrieta. And the rumor is that Philly's going to make a big push for Bryce Harper a year from now. That's the one thing, Boomer. Your Yankees are obviously now out of the sweepstakes for Harper. So maybe that gives other teams more incentive, whether it's the Phillies or the Cubs or the Dodgers, to go, all right, let's – actually, it wouldn't be the Cubs. They've got so much money lined up with Jason Hayward already. But those other teams might say, all right, let's go after Bryce Harper and give him 12 years, $400 million, which could be the Phillies thinking, and Arrieta is the first guy just to get the domino going. The other one, of course, is the Red Sox. The Yankees can't make a move without the Red Sox responding, and apparently Boston is eager to sign J.D. Martinez, a guy who is going to command a ton of money, probably the most money of any hitter out there on the free agent market. I mean, I'm hearing upwards of $200 million, which, listen, I love the guy, and he was great for the Diamondbacks, but I wouldn't give him $200 million. But it's back to the old arms race. Boston, New York, tit for tat, and away we go.
So let's walk that back a bit with Harper and the Yankees. This is an absolute no-go. I mean, in theory, you could. I guess the problem being you'd have three guys that none of them's best position is center field, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, Ron. I just don't see just like the way it would work, you're right, in terms of defensive fielding. Now, I know that some would quibble and go, well, who cares? Like, fine, just play a guy in a position. He can learn how to track balls in center as opposed to right. But I just think it would be a little bit I just think the prospect has diminished somewhat. But the fact that Stanton is such a long deal for so much money. And listen, I feel great if I'm a Yankees fan right now, but I still like another arm, right? Like Tanaka pitched well, but you're still not 100% sold on him. Obviously, Sabathia is now a free agent. You know, Severino was great, but he's obviously young. Panetta, you like to bounce back. So I think they'd almost rather say, all right, rather than putting all this money towards Bryce Harper and having this ridiculous offense, we've got a fearsome offense as it is. Let's pony up and scout towards who the top free agent pitcher will be a year from now and kind of go in that direction.
Why not now with Arrieta? Does that make any sense?
You know, I don't – in some ways it would. You know, Arrieta, of course, was with the Orioles previously in the AL East, did not pitch well. And, of course, he, you know, refound himself with the Cubs in the new training regimen, all of a sudden became a Cy Young pitcher. But, yeah, maybe part of it is Arrieta and his camp. We wouldn't want to revisit that. I mean, I get he's a different pitcher now, but maybe he just has bad memories of pitching in the AL East with the Orioles and doesn't want to have to face those teams. But you're right, with the Yankees, obviously have a great offense behind him. But yeah, for some reason, I have not heard any Arrieta to New York. It feels like Philly, and it feels like National League.
What should the Jays do? What would you do with Josh Donaldson in Toronto?
Yeah, this is the thing. For the Jays now, right away, obviously, it's been a horrific offseason with the news of Roy Halladay, and that has obviously cast a pall over the entire franchise. And now you've got the Yankees getting Stanton, and Boston's going to get J.D. Martinez or one of those Royals. Maybe it's Moustakas or Hosmer. They're going to make a splash. The Blue Jays have to say, all right, you know, the rumors are that Rogers is going to sell the team. Whether or not that happens, it's almost irrespective at this point. But the fact that you're not going to be able to compete with Boston, New York this year. So trade Donaldson. Quite simply, you're at the winter meetings. Find the best deal for him. Of course, he's an attractive player. He can be really effective at a position which is often underutilized, and there's not enough star players at third base. And, yeah, okay, he's had coming off a year which was not his best and injuries and such, but he still has value. So if I'm the Jays, like, all right, just send a memo to all 30 teams, just like the way Shohei Ohtani's agent did with the Japanese player. Tell me why Ohtani should go there. Tell me why you want Donaldson. Give us the best offer and go from there. Because I think the sooner the better, right? The longer it goes, I think the trade value goes down a little bit because people will realize, yeah, the Jays aren't contenders, and they're just going to flip them for whatever they can get.
And we've seen some pretty good prices for rentals. You look back to the Chapman deal when he went from New York to Chicago. You can still get a major prospect haul, but you do have to get teams in a bidding war against each other. That's the key, right?
No question, and that's why the winter meetings are so important. Like whenever, you know, Carl Ravitch and the crew's down there, Tim Kirkson's told me stories. He said that it really does, you know, it does become a domino effect because you're all staying in this hotel and everyone's going to just keep up tabs, everybody, and then moves are being announced, and it's kind of like a poker game, right? Like it's just all night, everyone's kind of dealing and talking and cajoling and talking to agents. What if I flip to this guy and that guy? And so this is the time to do it. I mean, it is the best time because you have everyone in one spot and you can say, listen, we got 3 days and just give us the best Donaldson offer. And I think you're right. I think you can get a top prospect and you can get an everyday player, maybe another B-level prospect for Josh Donaldson right now.
I'd do it. Like, you're not going to be good this year. What, you're going to outrun the Yankees or the Red Sox for a wild card? I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, it's definitely not happening this year. I mean, just accept it and go, all right, listen, it was a great run for Toronto, right? Listen, we back-to-back playoff appearances, and this year didn't work out. Okay, fine. Now you're not going to compete with Boston, New York this year. Take a step back, move forward, and get some good value for Donaldson.
Outfielders in Miami, last one. Yelich and Ozuna, apparently. If you're going to sell everyone else, why not them?
Yeah, that is a very good point. And both of them were great. You know, Ozuna is a guy who hits for average. He could win a batting title. Yelich is fabulous. You know, we can appreciate this, having seen the Jays so many years. Looks a lot like Sean Green. Whenever I watch Christian Yelich, just his swing, you know, where he's kind of tall and lean and his whole stance, and he's excellent. Like, he can run the bases well, he fields well, he hits. He's not like gargantuan numbers, but you look up and go, there's Yelich hitting 310. He's got you 25 home runs. He's got you, 89 RBIs. And, like, in this day and age, for a young player who's productive like that, that's great. So of the two of them, I probably like Yelich a little more, although Ozuna will give you a better batting average, maybe some more pop, but I like Yelich's all-around game better. But absolutely, if the Marlins are in the sell mode right now, just go for it. Strip the whole thing down. Like, there's no point. If you're going to keep one, then you would have kept Stanton. He's obviously the face of Francis. If you're going to deal him, don't delude the fans and go, all right, come out and see Marcell Ozuna May 24th against the Reds. Just go, all right, let's just overhaul the whole thing, take a couple of years, do what the Astros did, do what the Cubs did, bottom out, and then go from there.
Seen any good movies?
Yeah, I mean, this is the time now for, like, just ridiculously good movies. It's all the Oscar bait, which I know, listen, it's not Jumanji Boomer, but trust me, there's some good movies
out
there.
All right,
The Shape of Water. No, The Shape of Water I loved. I know I mentioned that to you guys last week, the Guillermo del Toro movie. I love Three Billboards. That's in Ebbing, Missouri. Of course, I've mentioned that. But Molly's Game I just saw. Aaron Sorkin, directorial debut. Of course, long a great screenwriter. Every time he gets nominated, I think he'll get nominated for screenplay again. It's Jessica Chastain wearing a cocktail dress, and it's a true-life story of Molly Bloom, who organized these high-stakes poker games, which would involve, like, you know, Italian gangsters, Russian mafia, Hollywood actors, you name it. And it's just coming out in theaters now, and it's pretty good. You know, for a first-time director in Sorkin, obviously, you know, the dialogue's going to be great, good script. I think Chastain's great. She's a wonderful actress. And it's actually pretty entertaining, Molly's Game. I think you'll see it soon in Calgary.
All right. Well, thanks for that, buddy. I'm two and a half episodes in on Curb, so I'm slowly getting there. I just got done with...
How are we feeling so far?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. I just...
Fatwa.
It's so great. Yeah, fatwa. And foisted. Yeah, that's all good. By the time the next baseball season comes around, by the time next year comes around in baseball, I'll have watched all of Curb, so...
How great is Super Dave Osborne? That whole storyline with his nephew. It's unbelievable.
He's
like
so great.
Every line he delivers is great.
That one episode, and I don't know what year it was, but when it was the Seinfeld season where he shows up on the set and he tells the joke. Hey, you want to hear a joke? So amazing. So amazing.
I guess that was the first take. Like, Seinfeld lost it. As you know, it's all ad-lib.
Yeah.
He had no idea that was the punchline.
Yeah, and Larry was, everyone's reaction was perfect. Jerry's was perfect. Larry didn't bat an eye. It was, it's one of my favorite parts in the history of Curb. It's so great.
No, I love it, man. Super Dave's great. I interviewed him once, and he was amazing. Like, I just kept asking him, I go, that can't be ad-libbed. He's like, yeah, of course it is. Like, we just have an outline. Like, at the end of it, Larry has to get egg in his face. Okay, great. The other 2 minutes, we just do whatever the hell we want.
So great.
The best. It's every actor's dream. We don't have to memorize anything.
Good to talk to you, man. Always great having you. Have a great week.
I appreciate it, fellas. Take care. And how about, by the way, Sam Bennett? Great goal on Saturday night. Go Flames.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, it was. He needed that one.
Got the eight-game home point streak going. Look at that.
Is there anything you don't watch?
He's dialed in everything.
Like, you're dialed in.
I'm making a more concerted effort to watch Flames games.
Oh, I see.
I saw that stat about Johnny Gaudreau. He averages, like, he's a part of 50.7% of his team's goals. Highest ratio in the league. How crazy is that? Johnny be good?
It's one of those things where, hey, that's awesome, except,
Maybe it's not maybe awesome. We need
right. Where's the rest of the?
Where's everybody else? Yeah. All right. Well, we're starting to talk hockey with you. Then we're going to start talking.
Yeah,
Flames.
Next week we're doing a World Junior breakdown.
Yeah,
with you
that's great.
For the roster.
Oh, I'm Buffalo. It's going to be unbelievable. Can't wait, fellas.
You betcha.
Right.
Thanks, Adnan. You're the best.
All right, take care, boys.
Good boy. Hey, what a guy.
Gem, yeah.
What a guy.
50.7% of the offense.